Well, at the end of August, in just a few weeks from now, it's going to be an awesome day because we're celebrating our 15-year anniversary as a church. And what's crazy to think about is our church has grown 101% since the start of 2020, which means most of you weren't here to experience so many of the significant, defining, transformational, fun moments we've had over the last 15 years. And one of those moments was actually in 2012. Now, some of you may not know, in September of 2009, we officially launched Relevant at Indian Creek, which is right down the road, Indian Creek Golf Course, where we had our Sunday gathering there for 9 years, setting up and tearing down every single week. And I can remember going into that first Sunday gathering terrified because I wasn't sure if anyone was going to come. That Sunday, we had 80 total people, 80, and that was kids, that was people in the gathering, that was friends and family who came to visit from out of town. 80 total people. I was like ecstatic, but it was so bad. So bad. I didn't think anyone was ever going to come back again. You can see this is kind of the way it looked. And I was really surprised people did come back, but they did. 3 years later, in September of 2012, we had grown enough to start two gatherings instead of just one Sunday gathering at Indian Creek. Don't be too impressed by that. The Indian Creek could only fit about 300 chairs, so that wasn't very many people. But up to that time, there was no stage. Like, there was no, this, you know, Indian Creek, we used their screen and you couldn't hardly see it. You couldn't see the people who were on stage. We didn't have a backdrop. You could see Indian pictures all over the place. The lights we had, you can kind of see them. There were lights that I brought here when I moved here. And actually one Sunday, those lights started on fire. Because they were like, that literally happened one Sunday. Well, as we were preparing to start two gatherings and launch two gatherings in September of 2012, we decided to do some upgrades to the stage. And so we ended up buying like stage pieces and lights. And, you know, we got some projectors and some screens. And we put up our own screens. And we did pipe and drape. And it was awesome. And as we were preparing to start two gatherings and it got this new stage, we wanted to be grown-ups and have haze on the stage. And haze, by the way, like this room is filled with haze. Anywhere you've ever gone where there's any type of presentation on stage like this, there's haze. It's the only reason that you can see lights and it just creates a lot of depth on stage and whatnot. We didn't have a haze machine and we didn't have any money, but we did have a fog machine. We thought that worked the same way. So we put the fog machine under the stage and there in the worship set, someone would hit the button for the fog machine and fog, like no loud, we should have tested it beforehand. During the worship set, fog is coming out of the stage like hell is rising up. And the volunteer we had running the thing just kept hitting the button. It was the most embarrassing thing I've ever been a part of as a pastor. And we can laugh about it now, but it was not funny then. Well, there's been so many great moments over the last 15 years. With our anniversary coming up, I've been thinking a lot about the last 15 years. About where we are as a church, about how we got here, about the future of Relevant, about how we'll get to where God wants us to be, about you, about how much I love our church. And I love our church. And I know so many of you would say the same thing. So many of you would say, ah, oh, I love my church. Well, you need to know that hasn't happened by accident. And I want to continue to be part of a church I love, and you do too. It's why you're here. Well, you also need to know that that won't happen by accident. After 15 years of being the pastor of Relevant, I become convinced that to create a church you love requires commitment. It requires commitment from you, from me, from everyone. And so before we celebrate our anniversary together, I want to talk about a few of those commitments. Throughout this series, we're talking about four commitments. Four commitments that so many people have made over the last 15 years that has created a church that so many of us love today. Four commitments that will continue to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church that you and other people love to be a part of. Four commitments that if we all chose to make, we'd see God work powerfully in ways we can't imagine. We'd see the visions that he's put on our hearts to come to reality. We see God transform our lives, our friends' lives, our families' lives, our neighbors' lives in ways that we can't begin to comprehend. We'd experience the fullness of God's presence and power. We'd see God show us his glory like never before. And that's what will all make us say, I love my church. Well, last week to kick off the series, we talked about the first commitment, and that is to be engaged. To create a church you love, you must be engaged in the mission of it. You must be committed to be engaged in the mission of it by serving on a team. Before I talk about the second commitment today, I just want to reiterate and review something that we covered last week because it is so vitally important, and it's this. The church is a people who are the body of Christ called to be Jesus' hands and feet. The Apostle Paul, in a letter he wrote in the first century, about 30 or so years after the events of Jesus' life, to the church in the city of Corinth, said it this way. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, God's Spirit, referred to as the Holy Spirit, so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now you, speaking to the entire community of followers of Christ in the city of Corinth, you are the body of Christ. And each one of you, as individual followers of Christ, is a part of it. According to the writers of the New Testament, the moment we put our faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our life, at that moment, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes residence within us and we become part of this amazing thing that Jesus established called the church. And according to Paul, who would know because he wrote the majority of our New Testament, the church is not a building. The church is not a Sunday morning event. The church is a people. The church is a people who are the body of Christ, called to be Jesus' hands and feet. Like every other local church, relevant community church is the body of Christ. That means we, relevant, together, are called to form and function as the body of Christ together. We are called to carry on Jesus' mission and usher in his kingdom together. We are called to follow Jesus and be transformed to who he's created us to be together. We are called to be the embodiment of Jesus' presence together. We are called to live out Jesus' one new covenant command with one another. And here was Jesus' one new covenant command. A new command I give you, Jesus said. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this one thing, loving one another just as I first loved you, everyone will know that you were one of my disciples, one of my followers, if you love one another just as I first loved you. The church is a people who are the body of Christ, called to be Jesus' hands and feet. And that starts by us loving one another just as Christ first loved us. As the body of Christ, we are called to embody the love of Christ with one another because how we experience the love of Christ today is through one another. We are Jesus' hands and feet with one another today. And according to Jesus, loving one another just as he first loved us is one of the most powerful ways to be his hands and feet in the world because it's how the world will know that we are his disciples, that we're his followers. I cannot stress this enough. The church is a people. With that in mind, the second commitment to create a church you and others love is be connected. For you and I to truly say, I love my church, you must be committed to be connected to the people. Listen, you might love the programs your church offers, the sermons your church preaches, the environments your church has for your kids, but that doesn't mean you love your church. All that means is you love what the people of your church do for you. If you aren't connected to the people, you can never love your church because the church is a people. Listen, regardless of how much you love Jesus, regardless of how long you've been a part of Relevant or been part of of a church, regardless of how inspired you may be today or if you agree with me or not today. The reality is that there is one word that's gonna make it really hard for some of us to live out this commitment. And that word is me. We talked about this last week. We live in a country that's so individualistic and all about me, 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 me. What's best for me, what I want, what I need, what I prefer, what I like, what will help me and benefit me. I'm the center of the world and you're here for me. And that me mentality has seeped into how we view Jesus. Jesus came for me, died for me, is here for me, centers around me. And it's also made us view a church through a me filter. The church is here for me. The church centers around me. The church is here to serve me. The church is here to feed me. The church is here to give me. And the reality is this: people being focused on me kills we. People being focused on me kills we. And that can't happen, and that mustn't happen, because to Jesus, it's all about we. Our Heavenly Father didn't send Jesus for a person. He sent Jesus for a people. Jesus didn't come to this earth, die on the cross, and rise from a grave for a singular me. He did it for a collective we. Jesus didn't come to establish a follower of Christ. He came to establish a kingdom, a people, a body, a we. And the Apostle Peter, who was one of Jesus' 12 disciples and one of Jesus' closest friends, said it this way: but you, Peter's not writing to a person. He's writing to the entire church, every person who's put their faith in Jesus. Basically saying, all y'all, but you, all y'all are saying, this is what's already true about all y'all. It's who all y'all are. But you are a chosen people. Saying, all y'all are chosen by God himself. God chose to redeem, reconcile, and restore you to himself through Jesus' death and resurrection. Not because of anything you did, not because of anything you deserved, but because he loves you. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And when Peter wrote this, the first century church, whom Peter was writing to, immediately thought of the Old Covenant, Old Testament, Levitical priesthood, who were mediators between God and man. And that all ended with Jesus. And Peter is now saying, you all together are now the royal priesthood. You all have access to God together. You all now represent God to one another and one another to God. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Why? That you, all y'all, may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Peter's saying, God redeeming, restoring, and reconciling all of you to himself was amazing for you. But it's not ultimately about you. He did it for us so we could glorify and praise him. Once you were not a people, but now all y'all together are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And one of the big ideas that Peter is communicating here is this: following Jesus is as much a we thing as it is a me thing. Because we together as the church are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people of God, the body of Christ. You as an individual are not the body of Christ. We together are the body of Christ. And you as a follower of Christ are a part of the body, are a member of the body, which means it's not about you. We are the church, and we are all about Jesus, his kingdom, and his glory. We are his people who are together called to live as his body and declare his praise and glorify him. And what will make you and what will make others hate their church is when you or others make it a me thing. Because it's supposed to be a we thing. Like every other local church, Relevant Community Church is the body of Christ. For those of you who are followers of Christ, for those of you who have put your faith in Jesus by asking him to be the forgiver of your sins and leader of your life, and you say that this is your church, you're a part of this body of Christ. You're a part of this we. We together are one body, united by one Savior, one Spirit, one faith, one baptism, one hope, one Lord, one God. We may not all like each other, but we all need each other. You're connected to me, and I'm connected to you. Whether you like it or not, we are a we. And the reality is we will be a healthy or unhealthy we. We will be a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying people that you and others love to be connected to, or will be an unhealthy, stagnant, me-centered church that you and everyone else wants nothing to do with. The question is, what are the elements of a healthy, what are the elements of a transformational, God-glorifying church, people, we, that we'd all love to be connected to? And there's many, but I want to quickly talk about three of them. The first one is unity with one another. We will all disagree with one another, doctrinally, theologically, morally, socially, politically, ideologically. And when we do, we naturally want to argue, fight, distance ourselves from one another, divide. Talked about that in the Polarized series. Well, that's not what a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church does. And John 17 is one of Jesus' last recorded prayers. And in it, he prayed for someone very specific, his future church. And here's what he prayed for you, for me, for us. My prayer is not for them alone. He just got done praying for his 12 disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. In other words, his future church leading all the way up to us. And here was his prayer for us. That, how many? All. Not a majority. All of them. Male, female, brown, black, white, wealthy, middle class, poor, single, married, privileged, underprivileged, high school student, senior citizen, Republican, Democrat. Jesus prayed that all of us who make up his church, make up his body, may be one. May be completely and thoroughly united with no division. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us so that the world, not so that those who are part of the church, not so that followers of Christ, but so that people who don't have a saving relationship with Jesus. Jesus saying, I pray that my church, my people may be united as one so that the world may believe you have sent me. Jesus knew our unity was mission critical. Jesus knew the way the world would take notice of him is by us, his body, his followers, being united when we disagree. Jesus knew this is what would get the attention of the world because there's nothing like it in the world. Jesus continued, I have given them, my church, my people, my body, the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, you in me, so that they may be brought to, look at this, complete unity. Then the world, there it is again. It's not ultimately about you, about me. It's not even ultimately about us. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. According to Jesus, the world coming to know him, putting their faith in him, does not ride on us agreeing on everything. According to Jesus, it rides on our unity. On when we disagree, being united in him, being united in loving one another just as he first loved us. On being united in spurring one another on toward following Jesus together. On being united in glorifying God and all that we are and all that we do together. There is no healthy we without unity. There is no healthy church. There is no healthy body of Christ without unity. That's why Jesus prayed for it in his final ours. Listen, disagreeing isn't a choice. You don't get a choice. We don't get to choose if we disagree with someone. Disagreeing is not a choice. Unity is. Unity is a choice. The second key element of a healthy transformation, God-glorifying church, God-glorifying people is care for one another. Back to 1 Corinthians 12, where the Apostle Paul described the church as the body of Christ. He said, but God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be, oh, here it is again, no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. Another English translation of the Greek New Testament says, should have the same care for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. A couple years ago, when I was lifting weights, I got a bulging disc in my back. And it was awful, and it messed me up for many, many months. Still, to this day, my back isn't to where it was before that. Probably because I'm just getting old, but When I got that bulging disc in my back, you know what the rest of my body didn't do? The rest of my body wasn't like, just go on. Hey, you know what? You mind your own business, bulging disc. We're going to kind of just go on with business as usual. No, man, when I got that bulging disc, every part of my body was affected by that and was focused on that. Paul is saying, like your physical body, each part of the body of Christ should have equal concern and equal care for each other. But if one body part is suffering, the entire body suffers. Caring for one another is one of the most powerful and practical ways to love one another just as Christ first loved us. It's one of the most powerful and practical ways to share the love of Christ with one another. It's one of the most powerful and practical ways that we experience the love and hope and peace and grace and mercy and life and provision and healing power and presence of Jesus in our lives and in our church. And that's what makes the body of Christ healthy. The third key element of a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church is following Jesus together. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews wrote, "And let us, all the members who are the body, all the members of the body of Christ, consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." That's a short way of saying, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward following Jesus, not giving up meeting together. Because it's impossible to spur one another on toward following Jesus if we're not connected to one another, as some are in the habit of doing. But encouraging, it's a short word of saying, admonishing, challenging, inspiring, empowering, equipping, convicting, giving accountability to, encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching, referring to the day when Jesus physically returns. As the body of Christ, we exist to follow Jesus together. And according to the writer of Hebrews, according to Peter, according to Paul, according to Jesus, as members of the body of Christ, as a royal priesthood, we are called to help one another pursue Jesus, move toward Jesus, and follow Jesus. God's goal is to transform you more into who He's created you to be. And you and I are transformed by following Jesus one next step at a time. But you've got to know, transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Following Jesus is as much a we thing as it is a me thing. You need we to help you take next steps to follow Jesus, and we need you as well. When we are following Jesus together, we are healthy. Because we are being more transformed who God's created us to be as a church. We will be a healthy or an unhealthy we. The elements of a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church are unity with one another, care for one another, following Jesus together. And when these three exist, you can't help but say, I love my church. Like every other local church, Relevant Community Church is the body of Christ. And every follower of Christ, every person who's put their faith in Jesus, asking them to be the forgiver of their sins and leader of their life, who says that this is their church, is a part of this body of Christ. And what that means is that you that we are all called and responsible to create a healthy, transformational, God-glorifying church together. And for that to happen, you and I must be committed to be connected to each other, because the church is a people. But you need to know, you can't possibly be connected to everyone, all the people. You can't possibly know everyone, care for everyone, help everyone, be accountable to everyone, have authentic relationships with everyone. We are way too big for that. And even churches of 100 people are way too big for that. And people who think I can be truly connected to all 100 people, it's a false sense of connection. You can know the names of 100 people, you can't truly be connected to 100 people. So how do we all take responsibility of creating a healthy, transformational, God glorifying church people if we can't be committed to being connected to everyone? And here's how: by being connected to a smaller community of people within our church body. If you read through the New Testament book of Acts, this is exactly what the first church in Jerusalem did. Within a few weeks after Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, his church had grown from 100 people to 5,000 people in Jerusalem. I mean, it blew up. And you know what they did? They all gathered together to hear the apostles preach and teach. And then they scattered throughout Jerusalem in smaller communities of people to be connected to those people and to live out being the body of Christ together. And then those smaller communities would come back together, gather back together to hear the apostles teach and preach. We gather together on Sunday mornings as an entire church body. But if this is all that church is to you, you can and you never will love your church, because the church is a people. And the big idea is this: to create a church you love, you must be connected to a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within the church, in a healthy and transformational small group of people. Now, the words healthy and transformational are not just catchphrases to us. Recently, we did the hard work of identifying indicators of a healthy and transformational small group. And here they are. Bottom line being this: the small group is growing in a relationship with Jesus together, connecting in community together, and impacting for people for Jesus together. Now, as you read through these indicators, I can guarantee if you were connected in a small group where this was being experienced, you couldn't help but say, "I love my church." At Relevant Community Church, for middle school students, we call these rooted small groups. For high school students, we call them YU small groups. For college students and adults, we call them T-Life groups. And by the way, T-Life stands for transformed life. We call them T-Life groups because we only care about one thing, and that one thing is transformation. And transformation doesn't happen in isolation. The purpose of these small groups are to be healthy, transformational, smaller communities of people who are following Jesus together by growing in a relationship with him together, connecting in community together, and impacting people for Jesus together. Our vision is not for every person, is not only for every person who's a part of Relevant to be connected into a small group. Our vision is that every small group is a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within the Relevant community. That's our vision, because the church is a people, and you want to be part of a church you love. To create a church you love, you must be connected in a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within the church. So for those of you who say that Relevant Community Church is your church, regardless of how long you've been a part of this church body, regardless of where you're at in your spiritual journey, but you aren't connected in a smaller community of people within Relevant, I want to challenge you to connect in a small group. Connect because the church is a people. Connect because we will be a healthy or unhealthy church. Connect because following Jesus is as much a we thing as it is a me thing. Connect because transformation doesn't happen in isolation. Connect because you need others to help you take next steps to follow Jesus, and others need you to help them take next steps to follow Jesus. Connect to create a church that you love being a part of. If you're a middle school student and you're a high school student and you're not part of a Rooted small group or a YU small group, connect by starting to go middle school students to Rooted on Sunday afternoons at 4 o'clock, high school students on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. If you're a college student or adult and you're not part of a T-Life group, connect, and you can connect today. You can T-Life groups or sign-ups are going on right now through the 25th of this month. You can sign up on the app or on the website, or if you want to rather talk to someone, you can go to the Next Step area and our team out there can answer questions for you and help you get signed up as well. And listen, I get that you may be nervous. I get that it may sound scary, but it's worth it. Take a look.
Before I joined my T-Life group, it was actually one of the lowest points of my life. It was a time where I felt more alone than I ever had.
I grew up in a very dysfunctional family, isolated from everyone, then became a part of a cult and spent many years in a cult environment.
I really naturally want to isolate and just be alone and by myself. I feel comfortable in that. I think God was nudging me to get out of that place.
I knew that there was something missing in my life, especially during the season of life that I was in at the time. God was prompting me that I couldn't do it alone. And I felt the Holy Spirit convicting me that I needed to be with people who loved God, with people who I hoped would love me and my family.
I wanted to be a part of these women that loved the Lord. The devil just found a way to isolate me from the safety of a group. It was a step of faith and a next step of trust for me to join a T-Life group.
I think that God was putting it on my heart to find my people. I would walk into church and I would see everyone know each other and everyone be so excited to check in and say hi to everyone. And I was like sneaking in 5 minutes after service started and sitting in the back, and I would bolt out like right when it was over. Seeing groups open and being able to just kind of browse through and look at them, and I was like, hey, maybe some of these people could be my people.
God gave me the prompting and the courage to take that next step to join a group, even though I was scared and even though I didn't know the people that would be there.
And I drove around Michelle's neighborhood for 45 minutes, just petrified that these women wouldn't accept me. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't educated enough. When God gave me enough courage to park the vehicle and go in the door, changed my life.
There's so many relationships that I've gotten out of being in T-Life group with other women that have really changed everything for me. And I think just having a group of women that I look at as, friends, my mentors, the people that I come to when I don't know what I'm doing, the people I come to when life gets hard, the people I go to when I have questions.
I went from a season where I was alone and where I was just craving life-giving friendships to now I have beautiful friendships, friendships that I longed for my whole life, people who build me up, who spur me on in my faith, and who encouraged me to not only be in God's word, but also to just be the best version of myself that I can be.
At any moment, I can pick up my phone and text. I can call, and they're there. My cup is full again, and it just overflows.
T-Life group is for you. Like, you are invited, you are welcome, you are wanted there. There is somebody in a group right now hoping that someone just like you walks through that door.
Those women love their church because they're connected in a healthy and transformational T-Life group. But that did not happen by accident. It only happened because they and everyone else in the T-Life group was committed to create it. That leads me to my second commitment. My second challenge, and it's for those of you who are connected in a small group, and that is to be fully committed to create a healthy and transformational community of people. Let's look at those indicators again. Some of you are currently in a group, Rooted group, YU group, T-Life group, and you're frustrated because you want to experience this. Or you were in one, and you got frustrated, and you quit, and you're not in one anymore. And do you know why you're frustrated or why you were frustrated? Your frustration happened because everyone in that group was not committed to do that. They weren't committed to create a healthy and transformational small group. And it's easy to look and be like, if they would have, those people, then I would have had a good... But let me just ask you, no, are you committed to it? Or were you committed to it? I mean, someone has to go first, right? Me-centered people want everyone else to go first. We-centered people go, I'll go first. I'll be the change. To experience a healthy, transformational small group, everyone, including you, in the group, must be fully committed to create a healthy and transformational community of people. So for those of you who are currently in a small group, and for those of you who are going to take a next step to connect in one, be fully committed. Be fully committed to the people in your group. Be fully committed to making a priority to show up when your group meets. Be fully committed to love the people in your group, in your small group, just as Christ first loved you. Be fully committed to help, inspire, empower, hold one another accountable to following Jesus together. Be fully committed to pray with, for, and over one another. Be fully committed to unity over agreement. Be fully committed to care for one another. Be fully committed to put we before me. Be fully committed to impact people for Jesus together. Be fully committed because to create a church you love, you must be committed, you must be connected in a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within Relevant. I'm going to ask four people that I love very dearly just to quickly join me on stage here. When you get there, these people are part of a T-Life group, Christy and my T-Life group. Now, when they get up here, you're going to realize they're younger than me. You're going to see that real, real fast. Well, Christy and I are a part of and lead a college-age T-Life group, and we have for many, many years. We love doing it, and one of the things we're intentional about doing it is apprenticing these young people to be T-Life group leaders, to start a T-Life group of their own and lead a T-Life group of their own someday. This is Curry, Elsie, Maggie, and Jonathan. They're four of our T-Life group apprentices. They're apprenticing to lead a T-Life group of their own someday. We've been a part of a group different lengths of time for all of us. Some of us have been a little longer. I've been a part of the same T-Life group, and I love being connected in the same small group with them. And I've just asked them quickly to answer one question. I have no idea, by the way, what their answers are. So this could flop real fast. I'm hoping this goes good. But the question I've asked them to answer is, what has our T-Life group meant to you? And so, Curry, what has our T-Life group meant to you?
Honestly, the biggest thing is just being able to show up once a week, completely be myself, no shame, and yeah, just be surrounded with some of my new lifelong friends, and yeah, it's amazing. I love it.
Awesome. Elsie, what has our T-Life group meant to you?
It's such a blessing just because we need each other and to have other believers to lean on and to help us grow in our relationship with Jesus. It just means a lot, and every week we come together and we're carrying each other's burdens and praying over one another and encouraging one another, and also just have college students too, just all seeking the Lord. It's so refreshing to experience.
That's awesome. Maggie, what has our T-Life group meant to you?
Yeah, it's really taught me the importance of relationships, especially investing in each other and having others invest in you. It's just been the greatest way for me to, you know, build my relationship with Jesus and help others do that as well, and hopefully that I can help them in doing that.
Yeah, awesome. And finally, Jonathan, what has our T-Life group meant to you?
Yeah, it was the main part that it really means to me is something I wasn't expecting. When I first joined, I figured, you know, I was going to go to this group. I was going to learn more about God. I was going to learn more about the Bible, and that was kind of the gist of it. But the thing that I've noticed over the years of being in the T-Life group was the vulnerability that I could experience and have there, like knowing that there wasn't any judgment, the people weren't going, there wasn't going to be backlash for what I was saying. I could be 100% vulnerable with what I was going through, any questions that I had, and I knew that it was going to be fully welcomed and reciprocated, and it wasn't going to be any judgment to what I was saying.
Yeah. You love your church?
Oh, yeah.
You love your church? You love your church? You love your church? The reason these four can say I love my church is because they're connected in a healthy and transformational T-Life group. But that did not happen by accident. It happened because I'm the leader. No, That is better. I was like, I had to throw it out there. That was maybe off color. I don't know. It only happened. This is serious. It only happened because they and so many others in our T Life group are committed to create it. It's the only reason it's happened. So for those of you who say Relevant is your church, let me ask you, what next step is Jesus inviting you to take to be connected in a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within Relevant? Whatever the next step is, I want to invite you to be committed to take it. Take it, because the church is a people. And to create a church you love, you must be connected in a healthy and transformational smaller community of people within the church. Let me pray for us. Dear Lord, thank you for allowing us to be part of the body of Christ, the people, your people. Thank you for allowing us to be part of this people, this local body. Lord, I pray whatever next step you'd invite us to take, we take it, and through it, ultimately, you're glorified. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.